This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Deadly crash in Texas. Good morning. I'm Jennifer Kishinka in for Gordon Deal along with Mike Gavin on this Thursday, August 5th. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Texas authorities say multiple people are dead after a van carrying suspected illegal immigrants crashes into a pole.
The Biden administration planning to require foreign travelers to be vaccinated.
The New York State Assembly ramps up on impeachment probe of Governor Andrew Cuomo.
Will you overspend on back-to-school shopping? It's likely.
36%, which is pretty surprising. It's actually the same number who told us they feel pressure to overspend around Christmas time. So it's definitely a big deal. Social media seems to play a big role in it, especially for millennial parents.
Ted Rossman of CreditCards.com will be here in about 20 minutes with that story. At least 10 people are dead and 20 injured when an overloaded van crashed on a highway in a tiny town about 100 miles south of Corpus Christi, Texas. The van held 29 suspected undocumented migrants. The crash happened shortly after 4 p.m. yesterday at an intersection in Encino, a town of about 140 people. Sergeant Nathan Branley of the Texas Department of Public Safety says the van, designed to hold 15 passengers, was top-heavy and tipped over when the driver lost control on a curve.
According to witnesses that were traveling northbound on US 281 in Brooks County, it tried to attempt to make a right turn at the rate of speed that it was traveling on US 281 and veered off the roadway and struck a metal utility pole.
The driver and 9 passengers died at the site of the crash. 20 people were transported to area hospitals. All have serious to critical injuries. According to the latest data from the CDC, more than 90% of new coronavirus infections across the country are from the Delta variant. The U.S. has had more than 35.3 million confirmed cases and 614,700 deaths. In Florida, where COVID infections have broken records every day this week, Governor Ron DeSantis openly defied President Biden, who urged the governor on Tuesday to adhere to pandemic guidelines.
We can either have a free society or we can have a biomedical security state. And I can tell you, Florida, we're a free state.
Florida and Texas accounted for 1/3 of all the new COVID cases reported last week in the U.S. In Louisiana, Governor John Bel Edwards says he's not yet considering a vaccine mandate for state workers, but he will within weeks.
Once full authorization, or sometimes it's called licensure, is granted, then that vaccine will be added to the list, and then it will work just like the current mumps, measles, rubella, and other vaccines.
Las Vegas Mayor Carolyn Goodman, who suggested last year that the desert heat would keep the coronavirus at bay, has tested positive and is quarantining for 10 days. Meanwhile, the Biden administration is developing a plan to require COVID vaccinations for nearly all foreign visitors to the U.S. and is not yet ready to lift travel restrictions. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is facing increasing legal and political challenges as 4 district attorneys say they are reviewing claims of sexual harassment, and Democrats who dominate the state assembly accelerate their impeachment inquiry. Prosecutors in Manhattan, Nassau, and Westchester counties joined the Albany County District Attorney in saying they had requested evidence made public on Tuesday in a 165-page report by Attorney General Letitia James. Albany District Attorney David Soares.
The criminal investigation is, in fact, what we are currently in the process of doing. I have asked the Attorney General for all documents, witness information, as well as an opportunity to interview her staff who conducted the investigation.
The AG report says the 63-year-old Cuomo sexually harassed multiple women who worked for him in violation of state and federal laws. It substantiated allegations of unwanted hugging, kissing, and touching from several women in multiple locations. The Assembly's Judiciary Committee, which is conducting the impeachment inquiry, plans to meet next week and combine James's report with evidence it has already collected. Coming up, the White House's messaging on COVID.
Staying sharp is how businesses stay successful. But the guys at Harry's, they took it literally. Their business stays sharp because their products do. In a recent study, Harry's customers said their eighth shave was as smooth as their first. Redeem a Harry's trial set when you go to harrys.com/deal and see if you agree. They craft their blades in their own German factory to make sure they meet their high standards. They're so confident in them, they offer a 100% money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And the bottom line is you get a great shave and end up looking pretty sharp as a result. Harry's is giving their best offer to our listeners. New Harry's customers can redeem a starter set for just $3 at harrys.com/deal. You'll get a 5-blade razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel with aloe, and a travel cover to protect your blades when you're on the go. That's a $13 value for just $3. There's never been a better time to try Harry's. Visit harrys.com/deal to try Harry's today.
Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Mike Gavin. The Biden administration is privately ramping up outreach to major media outlets in hopes of tamping down a spate of alarming news reports that threaten to slow its vaccination campaign. Here with the exclusive story is Chris Catalogo of Politico. Chris, who's meeting with whom?
So this is a strategy the White House is using, and it's tapping some of its top health experts, including the Surgeon General of the U.S. and several folks on the COVID team, to get into these meetings with news producers, news reporters from all of the major TV networks, as well as many of the top news agencies and papers, to talk about the differences mostly between the Delta variant, how much more easily it can spread than the initial COVID, and just look at some of this data with a little more context. Part of it is over concern on kind of a spate of stories they've seen over the last week or so having to do with the CDC release of data on the Delta variant. And so they're really trying to get ahead of these stories. And we tried to kind of lift the curtain a little bit to look at how the White House sort of tries to get its messaging out there.
What is the White House concerned about what's being reported?
So part of it is the sheer number of what we're calling breakthrough cases. These are people who have been vaccinated, who have still contracted COVID. And they're looking at sort of pointing out that, yes, more people who are vaccinated are getting this, but it's still a small percentage overall of people who are vaccinated, a very small percentage. And then even of those people who are getting COVID, the number who are becoming seriously ill, who are being hospitalized and potentially even dying, is very low. And it's very, very low compared with people who are not vaccinated. And so one of the main reasons that they're doing this is because some of these headlines have just focused on the sheer number of people, for instance, who have gotten COVID. And they're really worried that when people see these headlines and they're unvaccinated, they'll say, well, what's the point of getting vaccinated anyway? Look, all these people are getting COVID anyway. And their point would be, well, even if you get COVID, which you're fairly unlikely to do, you're much less likely to be hospitalized and then far less likely than that to die from it.
We're speaking with Chris Catalogo of Politico. Chris, are these kind of back channel meetings unusual? Are they similar things have happened in the past?
They've done these before, particularly on COVID. It's such a complicated, fast moving story. A lot of folks in the media are health specialists, but a lot of people cover every story out there. And so part of it is just getting their side out. I mean, they obviously want this coverage to be accurate. They want it to be in context. One of the things that we recalled that prompted several similar meetings before was this issue around vaccinations and making sure that they were getting information out there about, you know, how safe these are and all of that information, basically called vaccine confidence. So they did that around the vaccines coming out and around their vaccine push. They'll do them every now and then. The difference is, obviously, there's a press briefing every day for the press. The difference between that and these meetings is they're on deep background. So, you know, the press and obviously the folks putting them on can be a little bit freer with what they want to say. There's a little more one-on-one attention with each of these news agencies. And, you know, the folks who put these meetings on have said in the past that, you know, the press appreciates them. I know there's a sense maybe from the public that they'd be concerned that the White House is trying to somehow dictate coverage. Obviously, that's not happening. So I think they just see it as an opportunity to answer questions, to kind of get their side out there. And, of course, the press is going to operate freely and independently.
Thanks, Chris. Chris Catalogo of Politico. It's 20 minutes past the hour. Here's Mike Gavin.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Authorities say an overloaded van carrying 29 migrants crashed on a remote South Texas highway, killing at least 10 people, including the driver, while injuring 20 others. The crash happened shortly after 4 p.m. yesterday on U.S. 280 in Encino. Sergeant Nathan Brandley of the Texas Department of Public Safety.
We're going to have to investigate it to the full and make contact with the Mexican consulate to confirm there aren't any U.S. citizens involved in there.
Number two.
The FBI says Tuesday's fatal attack on a Pentagon officer at a transit station outside the building was sudden and unprovoked. The FBI Washington field office tweeted that the officer, identified as George Gonzalez, died after a suspect exited a bus and stabbed him without provocation. Investigators identified the suspect as a 27-year-old Georgia resident who, during the struggle, shot himself with the officer's weapon and died at the scene after other officers confronted him.
Number three.
Coronavirus cases worldwide surpassed 200 million on Wednesday, according to a Reuters tally, as the more infectious Delta variant threatens areas with low vaccination rates and strains some healthcare systems. Meanwhile, the debate over mandatory masking is heating up again, and Surgeon General Vivek Murthy told ABC that it's all about keeping people safe without shutting down.
What they're trying to do effectively is say, how can we make going to eat safe? How can we make learning safe in schools? How can we make going to work safe? Because if people are asking these questions, if they want to get back to their way of life, they just want to make sure it's safe for them again.
Former President Donald Trump is seeking to block the Treasury Department from providing his tax returns to Congress. The new legal filing comes less than a week after the Justice Department concluded that the tax records could be handed over to a House committee as part of a year-long legal battle. And make way for the latest celebrity billionaire. Forbes says singer Rihanna just joined an exclusive group of celebrities as the newest billionaire and the world's wealthiest female musician. Rihanna's fortune currently stands at about $1.7 billion. Only Oprah Winfrey surpasses her as the wealthiest female entertainer. But while Rihanna may be known for such hits as Umbrella and Diamonds, her fortune is largely the result of the beauty and fashion companies she has founded.
Oh, to be Rihanna.
I mean, I never would have guessed that she'd be the top. I mean, we knew she was doing well.
Yeah.
She wasn't living in the poorhouse, but I never would have guessed that she would have been the top celebrity.
It helps to have extra businesses.
Yeah, for sure. Invested wisely, she did.
Thanks, Mike. Coming up, overspending on back-to-school shopping.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the course keeps changing right before your eyes. Whoa! And in order to maneuver it, you need an expert by your side. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the tech solutions you need to help you get out in front and stay ahead of the game. Woo! Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL and do more with modern devices in Windows 10 Pro.
If you've started your back-to-school shopping, this you already know. It's going to be costlier than ever. Not only that, you're likely to spend more than you're comfortable with. Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst at CreditCard.com, is here with the latest. Ted, how many parents feel pressured to overspend on back-to-school stuff?
36%, which is pretty surprising. It's actually the same number who told us they feel pressure to overspend around Christmas time. So it's definitely a big deal. Social media seems to play a big role in it, especially for millennial parents.
How so?
We found that almost three quarters of millennials say that social media impacts their buying decisions. And that was a lot more than Gen Xers at 49% and baby boomers at 45%. And this social media pressure is really across the board. It's all types of shopping. It's this desire to put your best foot forward. But I think especially with back to school, a trend that I've seen is parents really wanting to show off that cute outfit of the kid, you know, on the front steps of the house on the first day of school. And especially this year, I think, with COVID and kids and all of us have unfortunately lost a lot. And I think there is this desire. Now, the Delta variant is introducing another variable here. But, you know, we think back to last year when most school kids were hybrid or fully remote. This year, it seems that most will be in the classroom. I think this year there's even more of a desire to splurge on this sense of normalcy, but some of it may also be pent-up demand. Like last year, the buying decisions were different. It was more about electronics and furniture. This year, I think there's more of a push for clothes, shoes, backpacks, all of that in-person stuff.
And maybe a little bit of gifty kinds of things for your kids who have been through a tough time?
There's some of that. There's gifts for yourself, too, which I think is kind of funny. But a lot of stores have really expanded the definition of back to school. And they're really encouraging adults to splurge on clothes for themselves or furniture or electronics. Or, you know, back to school has become a gigantic shopping season. It's second to the winter holidays. And we even see stuff like the recently concluded Amazon Prime Day. I think that there is this sort of treat-yourself element, which, you know, in some cases is warranted and understood, but can also be a budget buster. The National Retail Federation found that the average K-12 family will be spending 8% more this year. The average college student's back-to-school bill is 13% higher. So we definitely need to watch some of these costs.
We're speaking with Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst at CreditCard.com. Ted, like any other spending decision, you need to start with a budget. Why is that so important?
I love the idea of involving your kids in that budget, too. I think it helps to ward off some fights. It's also a good way to teach them about money because personal finance is really all about trade-offs. So if you splurge in one area, you should cut back in another. And I think even at the elementary school level, involve your kids in those discussions. You know, yeah, they can have the fancy folders with the cartoon characters, but they've got to cut back on something else. And then all the more for teens and college students, I mean, you definitely want to get them thinking about the true cost of these things. Look into maybe a Buy Nothing group on Facebook or some kind of used website, swapping with friends and neighbors. A lot of us have excess clothes and school supplies and things that we maybe don't need to buy totally brand new.
Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst at CreditCard.com. It's coming up on 30 minutes past the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Bringing the world to your door every morning. This is America's First News, This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
On this Thursday, August 5th, Jennifer Kishinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Mike Evans. Some of our top stories and headlines: the U.S. plans to require COVID shots for foreign travelers. Landlords sue to stop the Biden administration's eviction ban. Automakers aim to boost electric vehicle sales 40 to 50% of the U.S. tally by 2030. The U.S. men's basketball team beats Australia and heads to the gold medal game. And help for a Florida homeless man goes viral. That story in about 20 minutes. This business update is brought to you by Indeed. With Indeed Instant Match, just sponsor a post and immediately receive a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit. As the COVID Delta variant continues to spread, the CDC updated its guidelines to revert to wearing masks in certain indoor environments, regardless of vaccination status. What does that mean for the workplace? Here to break it down, labor and employment attorney Michael Schmidt of Cozen O'Connor. Michael, can a private employer make you wear a face mask?
Well, absolutely, and that's part of the issue right now is the CDC came and changed its guidance from where it was this past May. It's sort of putting the onus and the burden a little bit on employers to figure out what they're going to do, both in terms of mask policies, but also the larger picture of mandating vaccines in order to come into the workplace and be a condition of work. But to your question, yes, you can require that vaccinated and or unvaccinated individuals wear masks while at the workplace.
Do we expect lawsuits over something like this?
Well, we do, and we have started to see lawsuits over this, primarily in the context of individuals who need to be accommodated, whether it's for medical reasons or for religious-based reasons. We'll start to see some and have started to see some lawsuits being brought from individuals either who don't want to be or can't be forced to wear a mask or follow other types of protocols, or from individuals who are following the protocols and believe that the company is not doing enough to protect them and make their workplace safe enough in terms of vigorously making sure that people are complying with their mask-wearing protocols.
Are we seeing different rules in different types of industries?
Well, we are. I think we're seeing different rules in different industries, whether it's the healthcare industry versus companies that are more office-based versus those companies in industries like hospitality or retail or banking where they may be customer or client-facing. So we have definitely gone from an issue that has been national and federal predominantly to one that is really different depending on what jurisdiction your organization is in.
We're speaking with labor and employment attorney Michael Schmidt of Cozen O'Connor. Yeah, you talk about this different states having different rules. What if an employee works in one state and also goes to another state? Do they have to follow different rules that their company sets out?
Yeah, it certainly makes for interesting issues for multi-jurisdictional companies, but also, as we know, so many people continue to work remotely in different states, either full-time or part-time. So it is incumbent on the organization to make sure it knows where it's got its employees and what local rules it's going to need to follow on these types of things. And that will be impacted by an employee who may work in one state that's different from where the company headquarters are. And it may be impacted if the employee, as you said, is working in multiple states in the course of his or her employment.
Can an employee be somehow penalized for not wearing a mask if they say, hey, I'm not doing this?
Yes, short of a need for a legitimate accommodation. And again, those are typically going to be for medical disability reasons as well as for sincerely held religious-based beliefs and practices. Short of being entitled to an accommodation, right now employers are within their rights to impose reasonable protocols and reasonable workplace policies, and if employees do not follow them, they could be disciplined up to and including termination.
Let's talk about the vaccine mandates. In your opinion, as an attorney, do you think they will stand up in court at a private employer?
Well, they have so far in the limited examples that we have. For example, there was one case earlier this summer decided down in Texas involving Houston Methodist Hospital, where you had a group of employees who were claiming that a private employer could not mandate vaccines because the vaccines are currently approved by the FDA only as an emergency use authorized vaccine. We saw that court reject fairly squarely those claims and dismiss the complaint.
Labor and employment attorney Michael Schmidt of Cozen O'Connor. It's 20 minutes before the hour coming up. How to store your vaccine card on your phone.
Do you love seafood when you're out to eat but never make it for yourself at home? Yeah, me too. But the key to restaurant quality at home starts with high-quality seafood and simple techniques from Wild Alaskan Company. With Wild Alaskan Company, you're getting high-quality, sustainably sourced, wild-caught seafood delivered right to your door. Choose from salmon, whitefish, or a combination. Money back if you're not happy. I went with the wild combo box. Fired it up on the grill with a little garlic, lemon, and parsley. It was like sitting at some dockside restaurant in The Last Frontier. Each piece of fish was individually wrapped and labeled. Plus, the packaging can be composted. Wild Alaskan Company seafood is always wild, never farmed or modified, and contains no antibiotics. It's how nature intended it. And right now, you can get $15 off your first box of premium seafood when you visit wildalaskancompany.com/Gordon. That's wildalaskancompany.com/Gordon for $15 off your first box. wildalaskancompany.com/Gordon.
Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Mike Gavin. Now the New York City is requiring proof of vaccination to get into restaurants, gyms, and some indoor entertainment venues. You may find yourself needing to share proof of your vaccine in other places. How can you do that? Brent Melita of USA Today has some answers. Brett, what's the problem with carrying around the card?
Two things. First off, the card isn't exactly built to carry around very easily. It's kind of big. You can carry it probably in a bag or a purse, but if you have a wallet, it's going to be really challenging. So there's that part of it. The other part of it, too, is you set up the possibility of losing your card, which makes it even more challenging because then once you lose that, it can become a little bit of a difficult issue trying to get a new one and try to just have a new way to prove that you've been vaccinated.
Brett, your first suggestion is that we should take a picture of it. Why?
Well, that's the easiest way that you can have proof that you've been vaccinated, and that way you can keep your card at home. One caveat, though, if you're planning to take a picture and put it on your phone, is you want to put it in a separate album because, you know, one thing that can happen is if you're taking pictures of family and vacation and other stuff, it's going to get lost in that camera roll. So if you need to pull it up quickly, it's going to be really hard to find. And on iPhone, for example, you can put it in a hidden album, and that can just be there by itself and allows you quickly to get in there and tap that link and access the card right away.
Are there other good ways to put it on your smartphone where you can find it quickly?
Yeah, if you own an Android phone, you can actually create a locked folder and you can take a picture of it and store it in that locked folder and put it behind a passcode. On iPhone, if you want similar security, you can actually use the Notes app and scan it like you would using a scanner. And then you can lock that note as well, and that can allow you to have a little more security if you want to keep your COVID card there. There are also other apps and other services that some states are using. New Jersey, for example, has the Docket app that they use where residents can view their vaccine status. New York has the Excelsior Pass. But then we're seeing other companies introduce some stuff as well. Walmart, for example, announced that they're going to allow access to digital COVID records through accounts on Walmart or Sam's Club. There's also a service called VaxYes, which allows you to put in your information, and then it'll transform your card into a digital passport. And then you can add it to a wallet if you're using an app like, say, a Google Pay or an Apple Wallet.
We're speaking with Brett Melita of USA Today. Brett, in talking to some of the people you did for your story, are there any concerns about fake cards or people using something that doesn't belong to them?
Well, I think that is something that does come up. And that's what's challenging, I think, about the process is, you get these cards from your pharmacy usually or wherever you go to get your vaccine. And they're kind of official, but they're not, they're not official to the level of, say, a driver's license, for example, where you get that issued to you from the state. This is something that, again, you get right after your vaccine. It's handwritten most of the time. So there is a little bit of concern there related to that because there is no real kind of concrete kind of driver's license level way to author to show that you've gotten vaccinated.
Are there concerns about privacy or security when you're putting this kind of a document on your phone?
Yes, absolutely. And, VaxYes, for example, they've noted that all the data that you input into their service is encrypted, and they're also compliant with HIPAA, which is the law that governs how healthcare professionals have to store and protect your data. So for the services that do, offer this, that's something you want to look out for if they're following HIPAA and also what kind of encryption they're using. And obviously, if you're taking a picture, for example, on your phone, that's why it's good to have a hidden album or you're able to lock down that card behind a folder or behind a note, for example, so that way you have a little bit extra security there. Say if you're letting someone use your phone and they just want to look at pictures, it kind of keeps your card safe.
Thanks, Brett. Brett Melita of USA Today. It's 13 minutes before the hour. Coming up, a check of today's top stories with Mike Gavin.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the world is throwing everything it has at you, and to succeed, you need someone to guide you through. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the tech advice to help you navigate whatever challenges you're up against and get you safely to where you want to be. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL and do more with modern devices and Windows 10 Pro.
Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal. It's 9 minutes before the hour. Here's Mike Gavin.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Some real estate groups have asked a federal court to block enforcement of the Biden administration's new eviction moratorium, arguing that the CDC caved to the political pressure by creating what the administration called a targeted 60-day freeze on evictions in counties with a high spread of COVID-19. The groups asked the district court in Washington, D.C. to immediately block the new moratorium. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki acknowledged that there could be some legal challenges ahead.
We don't control the court. We don't know what they will do.
Number two.
A rapidly spreading wildfire burned homes and has forced thousands to evacuate in two heavily wooded counties northeast of Sacramento in Northern California, generating a towering plume of smoke visible from at least 70 miles away. Cal Fire said the so-called river fire scorched 1,400 acres, with 1,000 acres burnt just within the first 2 hours.
Number three.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is facing a growing number of inquiries by local prosecutors and calls for his resignation a day after an investigation concluded that he had sexually harassed 11 women. Multiple New York jurisdictions announced that they would look into Cuomo's conduct. Albany County District Attorney David Soares talked about his plans.
First and foremost, reach out to the very brave women who came forward and went on the record to conduct interviews with the Attorney General's office.
Cuomo also is facing possible removal from office through impeachment proceedings in the state legislature. Spirit Airlines has apologized for widespread outages that have canceled hundreds of flights over the past 4 days. The airline says the issues first reported over the weekend are due to overlapping problems, including staffing shortages, severe weather, and system outages. Spirit said it's working to provide refunds and cancellations for the hundreds of travelers throughout the country who were affected. They now say that cancellations will progressively drop in the days to come. And Jeopardy fans have been waiting months for the show to finally announce who would take over the permanent host position after a parade of celebrity guest hosts ranging from Aaron Rodgers to Mayim Bialik. It appears, however, that the show is going to go a different route, tapping the show's executive producer Mike Richards to take over the long-running quiz show. Variety says that Richards, who joined the show just last year, impressed Sony Pictures brass with his command of the game and easy on-air manner. Richards is said to be in advanced negotiations to take over as host. That news didn't sit well with some fans, in part because their preferred candidate isn't the front runner, and in part because they have no idea who Richards is.
So much excitement over Jeopardy. I don't get it.
I mean, I don't know. He did guest host for, I don't know, a few weeks back in February and March, and everyone really liked him at the time.
Okay,
but then since they've had, you know, LeVar Burton and Aaron Rodgers and people like that. So, you know, kind of cooler names, I guess, to have get in there.
I don't get it. Thanks, Mike. Coming up, a feel-good story from Florida.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.
A Florida woman has sparked a chain reaction of kindness as a story she posted about helping a homeless man garnered reactions from nearly 175,000 strangers. Barbara Mack wrote on Facebook last month she bought a bottle of water for a man who was standing outside a convenience store. The events immediately following led to multiple patrons showing the same courtesy to the man in what Mack called a revolution. Mack, an Uber Eats delivery driver, told Fox News the heat index in Florida had reached over 100 degrees the day she visited the store. Since the homeless man, whom she had seen before, didn't look too good in the sweltering heat, she ran inside the store and grabbed a water. The woman at the counter knew Mack as a regular and allowed her to go outside first before she returned to pay. Others in line realized what she was doing and one by one bought a food item for the man outside. Mack said a friend encouraged her to share the moment in a Facebook post. A few days later, she had thousands of shares and it snowballed from there. The post was shared 137,000 times and 23,000 users commented, some saying how they've helped others just as Mack said she did. Mack says she's considering starting a charity organization and in the meantime hopes everyone will continue paying it forward since $1 isn't much for a bottle of water. That'll do it for this hour. For Mike Gavin, I'm Jennifer Kashinka. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.